Welcome to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis is all about our city as an urban place, including its neighborhoods, buildings, pathways, and parks, as well as the people who shape it. Join us each week as community leaders and commentators talk with me about our shared built environment. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm Emily Trenum, the Memphis Metropolis host. And this week, we're talking about Junior Achievement's beautiful new headquarters in the Binghamton neighborhood. And my guests are Lee Mansberg, who is president and CEO of Junior Achievement in Memphis, and Veronica Tanzi, who's senior project manager and interior designer at Fleming Architects, who worked on the project. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
So let's just start out by talking a little bit about your respective organizations. And Lee, let's start with you. I think most people have heard of Junior Achievement, but refresh our memories about the work you do.
Oh, certainly. So Junior Achievement has been in the Memphis community since 1955, leading children in careers into their careers in entrepreneurship and with a heavy focus on financial literacy and work readiness so that children can lead lives of choice. And we serve children, almost 20,000 a year, in grades K through 12.
And Junior Achievement is a national organization with local branches or local chapters.
Yes, there are 102 offices of Junior Achievement across the United States. We're also a part of an organization called JA Worldwide. So you can also find us in almost every country and continent. And in the state of Tennessee, we have 6 offices.
Okay, and you said the Memphis One was formed in the 1950s?
1955.
Okay, that's a while.
It's been a while.
So, Veronica, Fleming Architects is a pretty big firm, very well known here. So tell us a little bit about Fleming. And I know you've done a lot of projects, but maybe a couple of projects Fleming has done that people will, recognize, know about, resonate with them.
Sure. Yes. Fleming's been around Memphis for over 40 years. I've actually been with the firm for going on my 25th year. I've just finished my 24th, so I'm almost at 25. So, we've done a lot of projects here in town. We specialize projects here in Memphis and around the Mid-South, but we kind of do regional work as well. Some of the projects that we've worked on that you might recognize are the University of Memphis Law School, the Kroc Center, and the new Carville High School out in Carville, obviously. So lots of schools, lots of churches, multifamily, and non-for-profits are kind of our bread and butter.
And what about you? Would you have a particular, I know you're an interior designer, but do you have a special, like this is kind of an adaptive reuse project, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but do you have a specialty, a personal specialty within the firm?
I think I do work on lots of renovation projects, but I'm not really. I do just about everything, every project type that comes in the door. I've kind of touched at one point or time in my career, but I do love renovations and adaptive reuses. They are, I love a good before and after.
Yep, I totally agree with that. So, well, congratulations on being there 25 years. That's quite a milestone.
Almost, yes, thank you.
So Lee, talk about Junior Achievement, sort of your journey to this new location. I know I visited the downtown location, but it was been a while, maybe 10 years ago, and really loved it. But obviously you wanted more space or different space, or so what was the process like? How did you decide you wanted to move, and what were you looking for in a new headquarters?
Sure, and great question. So when I started in August of 2019, and before I really took the job, had long conversations with the interview committee and the board, and I'm a career educator. And while our former home at 307 Madison was a fabulous space, as an educator, I really wanted to perceive our space as a school that runs secondary to the schools that we serve. And the space on Madison Avenue just wasn't the right fit for that because we needed more program space, we needed more parking, and we needed to be centrally located where more children and where more school districts are located. So the board agreed before they hired me that we would begin on a search for a new home. And the new space is actually 10,000 square feet smaller than our old space.
Really?
But it is, and why we really wanted to work with Veronica and what she said earlier, I've worked with Veronica in school design before, is we purposely wanted a project lead that really understood how children learn. And there's literally, Veronica is the best. She understands how to reach to the heart of children. She's playful. I needed the space to be more playful. I needed it to translate. It's a space designed for 10-year-olds. And I needed a 10-year-old to believe they were both running a city, but in an imaginary world. And I also needed to be a part of the city and where so much life in the city was happening. And so when the space became available in Binghamton, we started working with the BDC really early on to see if this might be a possibility.
Binghamton Development Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So, Veronica, going back to you, just picking up to digress for a minute about something Lee said, is that a, how spaces that that enhance learning, I guess that's a specialty, a special field, obviously something you have experience in. Can you just talk about that first for a minute?
Sure. Yeah. So I started working on kind of educational facilities very early on in my career. I think, like I said, it's one of our main project sites at from Fleming. I always give people that I work with a hard time because I went to Houston High School, and that was one of the first big high schools that Scott Fleming, the owner, worked on. So, I give him a hard time, make him feel old. But I feel like one thing that when they hired me and we expanded the interior design department at Fleming, we really brought a focus into kind of the interior environments and not only kind of walls and ceilings and floors, but also the furniture and just kind of making a complete and total space. And Lee mentioned it really, making the space function for the client is a huge part of what we do because, making it help kids learn better, help teachers teach better, help, students kind of feel more comfortable. So all of those things really go into kind of how a successful building can be designed.
What are some of the elements that make a really conducive and welcoming learning environment?
Well, there's things that you can see, like natural light, comfortable furniture, multifunctional furniture, a flexible environment. And then there's also things you can't see, like great acoustics that make it easier to hear. And also the, HVAC, the environment to make people comfortable, not hot, not cold. There's just so many things that go into building a space that, really functions well.
I mean, Lee, did you, aside from those things that you were looking for, a welcoming place for children to learn, were there other unique needs that Junior Achievement had?
Absolutely. And because we were sizing down into 10,000 square feet, there were some really unique challenges that we gave Veronica and her team. And they're such good empathic listeners. And just it's the key of what she did was that she just listened and we felt very heard. So, for example, we went from 25,000 to 16,200 square feet. And I challenged her. I said, I want every square foot to have three uses. And how can we turn a simulation space into a conference space, into micro learning rooms? Can we flip the space to run different programs? And how can we make the staff comfortable? The staff in our old building was in almost 11,000 square feet. Now the staff is in 2,300 square feet.
Wow.
And so how can we make a co-work space that gives people privacy and ownership, but let it be collaborative? So there's amazing little touches everywhere. Every foot of this building is masterfully designed. And then the really big challenge I gave her was, as a former English teacher, I said, I really want to bring a sense of magical realism to this city. I don't want it to be a literal city. I want it to be a magical city. So when you come in, We actually have clouds hanging from the ceiling, but the clouds also function as sound clouds. So going back to that intentional design, so many of our children, we'll have up to 130 children a day in here, and it can get loud with music playing, but you never feel it because of how intentional the design was to really be functional as well.
Wow. I mean, I've only been in the very front of the building into those, that's sort of a big meeting room in the front. I've been there. I haven't gone back, but I need to come for a tour because
we should have done this interview there
because I need to see those clouds. So,
well, it's the clouds, it's the artwork. I mean, it is such a beautiful world for children to come and explore and learn in.
So Lee, I should have asked you this in the beginning when you're doing your introduction, but does Junior Achievement, do you have, you know, a target demographic? Do you just serve all children? You mentioned partnering with schools. What's the makeup of the youth that you serve?
So the target demographic is the overall, Emily, it's a great question, of our work is to equalize the economy so that every child can find his or her way into the economy. So our purpose and our call to mission is for those children with the fewest resources to make sure they have the guides they need to feel that they can compete in the economy with children who have so many resources. And so the building was really designed to equip our children from our most underserved communities to make sure they feel that the future is attainable for them so that we can have a just region and a just Memphis that creates space for all children. But it's a big set of tools that children need in order to do that. So we really focus on making sure that we can take no out of play so that we feel that we're accessible to every community. But the percentage of our children, about 67% of the children we serve come from under-resourced communities.
And then what's the nature of the program? Is it classes or play, or I'm sure that influenced the space?
It did. So all of our learning, so JA learning is play-based learning. And what we mean by that is everything we do begins with a sacred partnership with a school district and the teachers and classrooms we serve. Our teachers will start with a curriculum, and then what Junior Achievement, and we provide that curriculum, we provide the training on that curriculum, we provide amazing, over half our staff are trained educators to provide, make sure we provide best-in-class supports to those teachers, and then we become the capstone learning experience. So instead of a child taking a test and pieces of paper and boxes, we are hands-on, minds-open learning. So we teach a child, for example, in the building to learn how to run a city, and then they actually come and run a city. We teach them how to live on a personal budget in the 12 drivers, but then they come here and they actually get a job, they actually get two paychecks, and they actually have to execute on those 12 budget drivers. It's learning. My children are in their late 20s. They still remember their jobs at BizTown, and they're still resentful that they didn't get the jobs they want. And that's part of the lesson as well. That's the curriculum.
Well, I was going to ask if BizTown is still a thing, the way, you know, I mean, is it still a place? Because when I visited, it was, you know, a place, but it sounds like maybe things are more fluid now.
Well, we're a place, but we're a place on steroids now. So if you loved the first one, you're going to adore this one because everybody loved the first one so much. This one, I mean, I can't go backwards. So we had to take 20,000 steps forward. And so that's what we did.
So did you, were you looking for a new space and this opportunity presented itself? Or did you look, were you sort of in the process of a search for a new space?
We'd been in search for a new space, so the pandemic pushed us to be a year ahead of schedule. And so because we weren't using the other building, we went ahead and sold it. And in the process, we're still looking. It took us, we worked with Daryl Cobbins at Universal Commercial, and it took us about 9 months, 10 months to find this space. And then we went into the design process in the spring of 22. We entered in early spring of 22. We entered into the design process with Veronica, and actually early winter. And then we launched July 1st. I've never seen humans pull off. And Veronica and her team at Fleming and Linkus Construction What we accomplished, this was a 6-month build on time and done. They said we'd be in on January 20th for our grand opening, and we were in. It was amazing.
That's great.
That's amazing, yes.
That's, well, I want to talk, the location, of course, is fantastic, but before we get to that, so Veronica, talk a little bit about, I mean, we've touched on some of this, but you know, this is an old grocery store. I mean, I guess on some level, one good thing about it is it was just a big empty box. I guess you had that going for you, but I'm sure there were challenges in converting that in a way that made them more sense for Junior Achievement.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, there were definitely some benefits to the space. I mean, not all grocery stores have windows on three sides of the building, so that was a huge benefit. But there's still a lot of existing conditions. You know, the windows where the windows are, and then, you know, where the entrance is where the entrance is, and you have columns within the space and electrical panels and et cetera. I mean, there was just a lot of existing kind of parameters that we had. And anytime you kind of outfit a space that isn't where its, you know, original use was, is always a challenge. But it had some good bones. It had zero character, or, you know, it was just like a bare concrete floor and wall. So it was very much a blank slate.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can, I mean, I'm thinking, of course, this is 20, 25 years ago, but the conversion of the MIFA building, which was before my time, but I've understood that was a grocery store or something similar, and that's amazing. And so I guess, yeah, I can see that there'd be pluses and challenges with it. What else? I mean, were the kind of systems that the building had appropriate, or did you need to enhance or change those?
We tried to use as many existing kind of systems as possible. Again, working within a budget, trying to, you know, spend money where we wanted to spend money, which was, you know, on the interior, not, you know, we didn't want to have to reinvent the wheel just, you know, on a lot of things. So we reused a lot of the mechanical system. We did have to enhance it a little bit because there's more people in this building than would be in a grocery store at any given time. Electrically, we try to use all the existing panels, and we used as many security camera holes and openings and everything as much as we possibly could. Again, just trying to spend the money where we wanted to spend the money.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Memphis Metropolis and WYXR 91.7 FM, and we're talking about the new Junior Achievement headquarters in Binghamton, and my guests are Lee Mansberg from Junior Achievement and Veronica Tansey from Fleming Architects. So before, Veronica, before we move on from that topic, like were there any sort of surprises or things you didn't plan or budget for? Seems like in projects, a lot of projects, especially renovation projects, there's always something you're like, oh no.
Yes, yes. Well, we were lucky and we didn't have too many surprises in regards to the building. I think the biggest challenge I felt, and Lee might have different opinions, but I think the biggest challenge that we felt on our side is that once we got into the kind of the capstone space, that we had 20 different clients inside that space. You know, they have wonderful sponsors that kind of come in and help run their programs. And we had to work through Junior Achievement, but, you know, we wanted to design specific spaces for all of those different sponsors. So, yeah, it was a lot of things trying to go in to make sure that each space felt individual and unique. And again, where it's nothing was generic and copy and paste.
So elaborate on that a little bit, and maybe Lee, this is a question for you. So all the sponsor partners have a dedicated space. I'm assuming that's like the bank partner and people like that. So talk about that a little bit.
Right. So children can't become what they can't see. And so it's about making sure that the sponsors are aligning their curriculum and the design of their spaces, because each space is a miniature classroom. But in the same thing, there's an aesthetic to it all. So it has to, we're building, as I said, a magical realism, a dream city. So while the sponsors get autonomy, they don't totally get autonomy. How do you navigate it with them? How do you stay on brand for JA to make sure that you don't have everybody else is worried about their brand. So, Veronica had to, and our chief operating officer, Steve French, who is a saint, a modern day, he is an intentional, incredible saint, because you want it all to look good. And you have the bright orange of AutoZone next to Terminix's dark green next to First Horizon's, and you want it to be harmonious and working together. And that's where Veronica was really in her sweet spot of doing that. And then some people wanted the 50 extra square feet and they didn't. It was a lift. It was a lift.
Was there, and I didn't realize we're on the radio, so people can't see, but Veronica, were there sort of unifying, was there sort of a template for these spaces and where people could sort of put their own branding in, or was they every single one a little bit different from a design perspective?
I mean, we tried to kind of get keep the square footage consistent within each space, and and the items that Junior Achievement were providing were going to be consistent. But we wanted it to feel like a real town, and no town storefront is the same. So there's differences in every single one of them. So.
Lee, has the nature of the partner sponsors changed over the years? I'm thinking just about, technology and everything, or has it been, I mean, has it always been sort of a bank and a
Well, you think about what it's a curriculum piece. You have to think about what a city needs to run. So we need a couple banks, we need hardware, we need hospitals and doctors, we need entrepreneurs, big businesses, small businesses. We need the children to also see those businesses that are the Fortune 500 companies that are not only the biggest employers in the region, but also some of the most philanthropic. Our city's a wonderful place because our AutoZones and our International Papers and our FedExes are philanthropically inclined. And so there's a piece of that for the children to understand that that's what makes an economy run, our big and small businesses working in harmony to do the most good. And we get to create the dream city. It's our rules. Like, we get to elect our own mayor and set our own rules. So yes, sponsors will change. They do commit for 5 years to be here, but economies change. So we fully expect our sponsors to change. And Veronica did a masterful job, is that if that happens, we are designed to be able to flip a space pretty easily.
okay, that makes sense. So let's talk about the neighborhood. I mean, first of all, it's a great location. There at Sam Cooper and Tillman, I guess it's a great location from certainly from a transportation to a very visible location. But of course, it's right in the heart of Binghamton. There's all kinds of activity going on there. You mentioned Binghamton Development Corporation, but just talk about the neighborhood and why it was you really relish the idea of moving there.
Certainly. So, as a former English teacher, the one thing we really know is geography matters. It's metaphorical. It's a very old neighborhood. It's a very diverse neighborhood, diverse economically, diverse culturally, diverse linguistically. And this is the world in which our children live. And so, to come into that neighborhood and be a valued member of this community was deeply important to the board, deeply important to the staff. And so Binghamton is a priority to care give for our neighbors. And to really show that we build an economy one neighborhood at a time. So we came into Binghamton and we pour our hearts into Binghamton because she sits at the center of our neighborhood. It began as a neighborhood that helped build with an Irish channel that helped build the railroads that have made our city just a logistics hub. It began with the railroads. And these are the things JA cares about, is for our children to understand the economy. What we do believe and what we know is every child lives in a neighborhood, and we build one economy at a time. There's a storefront. We had a wonderful donor who donated a whole storefront called JA Our Neighbors, and that space is dedicated to the children of Binghamton. And in partnership with the Carpenter Art Garden, the children of Carpenter Art Garden went out and photographed their neighborhood. And so the wallpaper is one of my favorite, most special places in the building. The wallpaper is an exhibit called Binghamton Through the Lens of Her Children. And it's just beautiful. And so children who come into our space thinking I'm in a good neighbor or a bad neighborhood, we don't allow them to use that pejorative language. All neighborhoods are good because it's someone's home. And so they get to the first thing the children see when they come in, Binghamton Through the Lens of Her Children, and they see hope and beauty and smiles and laughter, and that's home. And so Binghamton is our home too. And so we're very intentional about keeping business in this neighborhood, using entrepreneurs in this neighborhood. We make sure the building is available for our neighbors like Carpenter Art Garden to use it when they need it. At our board meeting on the 20th, the executive director will be our keynote to start off. Jazzy Miller, she's awesome.
I know Jazzy, yeah, from Crosstown.
Jazzy's amazing. We love Jazzy. And so she'll be speaking. I'm not afraid for my board members to meet her, and I hope they'll invest in Carpenter Art Garden. Children, the next Veronica Tansey could be sitting at Carpenter Art Garden and get inspired because she came to a space created by Veronica, and know that there's hope and potential to be a project manager and be a work alongside Veronica someday.
Well, plus the whole, you know, people working as artists. I mean, in terms of the different careers that you're helping people prepare for. I love that. I mean, I'm neighborhoods are really my passion, and I love that way of explaining. I mean, there are no bad neighborhoods. You're exactly right. Yeah. Every neighborhood is somebody's home. And and people do. It's easy to, you know, talk about the hood and to just to dismiss places that aren't like where you live. And I really, what you're saying is really, really resonating with me. And so, but you talked about, of course, Carpenter Art Garden and Binghamton Development. Of course, I know both of them. They're both wonderful organizations, but so it sounds like you've made some new partnerships as a result of this move.
We have, and you know, we don't compete against these partners. Like Literacy Mid-South has had board meetings here, and they've also been kind enough to put a book vending machine. So when one of our babies is having a hard day, they go in and get a free book, and they can sit down and JA Our Neighbors, lay down on these amazing benches Veronica tricked out for us, and heal their little hearts and read a book and play with toys and have a snack.
Well, and it sounds like that because of the location of the building, it allows you to be a little more accessible to the community. Because I know the meeting I was there was more for Memphis, had a meeting there, and you probably didn't do much of that at your downtown location. Just wasn't probably convenient for people to come and potentially use the space.
There wasn't even any parking. We had 22 parking spaces. And now we have 157. Parking makes a difference.
Plus, you're right next door to Inspire Community Cafe.
Oh, we love Inspire Community Cafe. They cater for us all the time. We love them.
Yeah, they're the best. Yes, they're the best. Well, this is super exciting. So, what didn't I ask you, both of you, about the project or about Junior Achievement that you want people to know? I mean, first of all, obviously how people can support, but what else about this project did I not ask you that people would be interested in hearing about, if anything?
You want to go first, Veronica?
You can go first. I'll follow you.
Okay. Well, for me, I mean, I just want every school to know that we're here and ready to support you. And don't put barriers up to saying, how can my school, so every parent listening, every teacher listening, every school leader listening, take away the barriers and know that Junior Achievement is for everybody. And this building was designed for teachers to have in-services here. It's designed to be an asset to the community. But they got to come inside. So I hope they'll just call us up and come for a visit.
Definitely. Put me on that list. I'm coming for a visit very soon. I want to see it. Veronica, any last words?
Yes, this project has been probably one of the most favorite projects I've worked on in my career. And I think, Fleming's kind of one of our missions is really just to kind of enhance and improve the community. And I think that aligned it perfectly with the Junior Achievements mission. And I love how they are just really empowering and kind of building these future leaders of our community. And it really hit home to me. So I'm very thankful for Lee for giving me this opportunity. And like I said, I couldn't be more proud to be working with them.
Great. Well, you've been listening to Memphis Metropolis and WYXR 91.7 FM. We've been talking to Lee Mansberg, who's the president and CEO of Junior Achievement, and Veronica Tansey from Fleming Architects. She's senior program manager and interior designer. And we've been talking about the new Junior Achievement headquarters, which is at the corner of Sam Cooper and Tillman, which I've only seen part of, but it's an amazing facility. So when you drive by there, check it out and check into their programs, learn more about the organization, and thanks for listening. So thank you, Lee. Thank you, Veronica,
thank
for coming
you.
On the program.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis airs every Monday at 1, so please tune in again next week. You can listen to past programs on our program page at wyxr.org or on memphismetropolis.com. You can also follow us and send feedback on social media. Now, stay tuned for Memphis Undercover with Nancy.